Okay, we're starting a little bit of a new section of things in our Erech and Shiurim. We spoke about the first 3 weeks, really the general halachas of what Erech really is, how I donate my value. We spoke last week about Chiyuv Dam, and we're shifting gears in the Masechta to a series of topics that come a bit later in the Masechta, very important in Parshas Behar. We're speaking tonight about Batei Arechoma. It's a series of Psukim in Parshas Behar discussed at length in the Gemara's Masechta Erech. The main goal of tonight is really, number one, be able to get some of the basic dinim down of what Batei Arechoma really are and what they're all about. A couple of mahalchim and what the reasoning behind Batei Arechoma, why it has its own unique set of halachas. Then we'll speak a little bit about some nice lumdas as far as how Batei Arechoma really works. It relates to Abdi Asugya and Ksubis and Beis and Abeis, but usually the Batei Arechoma end of things gets not emphasized as much. Is a sugya meseches gittin and stuff like ein dal ein hey. So there it actually does come up more, but people always learn that by Ian, so it doesn't always happen the same way. But let's start like this. Many of us know that when you inherit a field and you choose to sell that field, so the halacha is that even if I sell that field, like Menachla here in Eretz Yisrael, that even when I sell it, so when Yovel comes, every 50 years we have Yovel, that the field's going to return to the original owner. And whoever really inherited it, that person's going to get it at a... on the Yovel year. However, the Torah teaches us that's not true when you sell. V'ishki, it's Vayikra Chavhei and Chavtes. V'ishki Yimkor Beis Moshav Irchoma. V'ishag Ulaso Ad Tom Shnas Mimkaro. The Torah teaches us that if you are selling a home that is a Beis Moshav Irchoma, Rashi interprets that as being a home that is sold within a walled city, and the walled city goes back to the time of Yoshua ben Nun. It is apparently not only a halacha in regards to Purim, but it's halacha also that walled cities, if a city was walled all the way from Hav Yoshua ben Nun, and you sell there, so that's not going to go back at Yovel. There the halacha is as follows. You have Yamim Tiyeg Ulaso, we darshan, that means you really have 1 year to redeem it back. You have 1 year to redeem it back. When you redeem it back, the way that you do is by paying whatever the original sale was for. So if we bought it for $100,000, you have to buy it back for $100,000. That's how it works. If you don't buy it back within that first year, v'im lo yigael ad malosos shana tamima, if you don't buy it, then v'kam abayis asher be'ir asher lo choma letzmisus lekone oslo derosav lo yetze beyovel, you lose it. So you have 1 year to buy back your home in that walled city, and if I don't buy it back, I'm going to lose it forever. So Yovel returns us to original property with fields and things like that. But if you buy a home in a walled city, you are going to lose it. You have to redeem it within the first year. There are a couple halachas about this, to go over some of the halachas so we can be clear exactly how this goes. Number one, the Gemara in Erech and Daf Chavtes tells us that these halachas of Batei Arechoma only apply bisman she Yovel noeg. So even though on the one hand Yovel does not necessarily, the Torah is explicit, Yovel's not going to undo the sale. One day, at least here in the Gemara, Ein batei arechochom noagin ela bismansha Yovel noheg. If it's not the time of Yovel, so these halachas are not really going to apply the same way. The Gemara, who is allowed to be podeh? So for sure, the one who sold it is allowed to be podeh. If he passes away, so the Mishnah tells us in Erechin and Daf Lamed Aleph that his son is now allowed to come along and his son can redeem it. But the Rambam says, you know, all else being equal, crow are not really allowed to redeem it. The original person has to redeem it within that year. But if he passes away, so then he can, his son is allowed to. If the guy that bought it passed away, so you can redeem it from that person's son. So you always really do, on some level, have the ability to undo it. Those are, again, just some of the halachas. You can look here if you want in the Ram Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel and Perek Yibeis, the Rambam speaks about these halachas. I really do have a year to do so. Let's talk a little bit about why there are these halachas. Why is it different? How come Yovel is something which is going to undo everything, and something about the Arechoma, it's not going to be there? One reason why this is important, and when people try to figure out the Torah's relationship, let's say capitalism or socialism or things like that, as to where the Torah is really at, so Yovel becomes an important halacha. Do we believe in, like, flat, you know, evening everything out every 50 years so that, you know, everyone's going to be taken care of and everyone can get back to their land? So Yovel often gets spoken about how, on the one hand, there's room for people to make a living and people can try to amass more wealth. On the other hand, there is this time period in the oval year where you sort of like even things out a little bit, and why that may be, that's a question in general, which comes up. But the exception of Batei Arichoma is intriguing. Why would that be? So there are two main mahalchim. One of them is in the Ramban. The Ramban has it. The Bechor Shor has it, as do some other Rishonim. The other is the Meshech Chachma. Both of them, I think, make a good deal of sense. Says the Ramban, says the Bechor Shor. Again, more or less the same idea. The concern is like this. Number one, we only want to give you a year, so that it'll encourage you, says the Ramban, to go and to redeem it pretty quickly, because you know you only have a year. But says the Ramban, a Sadeh, a person's primary sustenance can come from a field. So the Torah wants to make sure that every person always will be able to sort of restart being able to be self-sufficient, be able to get a degree of sustenance. A field, you can work the field, that's one thing. But your particular, your bias, or your there, that's something which if you lose, again, presumably you may still have access to other land. It's more that you're, I guess, home within there. But the assumption of the Ramban, at least, is that, again, karkas osaperos, because Baruch Hu doesn't want that to go away forever. With a home, it sounds like we're not as concerned. It must be that with a home, there is some presumption you will be able to have a place to live and find shelter. But at least as far as the Sadeh part, I view that as being somewhat more fundamental. That's what the Ramban suggests. How true that necessarily, you know, the Ramban says. The Meshech Chachma has a different shot. Meshech Chachma's shot is actually very, very, it's not bad. He says, Yitachin ta'am ktsas, says the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma says, the Ir Chomas were often cities that were the most fortified cities, and the ones that in times of battle, when enemies were coming, they were the ones people would come inside the walled city, and they would provide a degree of defense against others. Says the Meshech Chachma, what we're actually concerned about is there's something very helpful when your army or the people that are defending you have a degree of, when people know each other, when there's a certain kind of permanence there, when people have certain kinds of connections and they trust other people in the area. And that way, when we all, if we, I know when I have land there, these will be my neighbors for a very long time. If every Yovel year we were restarting the cycle, so it wouldn't be able to provide the same degree of safety come along the Yovel year. Suddenly everyone's coming back, it's all these new people there, they don't trust them, they don't know each other as well, and it's not going to be able to provide the same kind of like of support or defense. That's why sometimes in an army, it's helpful that people in the army feel connections and feel like they can trust the people that are next to them. So same thing is true, and in the Batei Arichoma, that may be less present. Let's chaz, we've done so far, we'll take a question in a second. We've done so far as pointing out what the halachas are. Yovel normally undoes things, but not here with the Batei Arichoma. Why exactly, what does happen? I sell a home in a walled city, so I have 1 year to redeem it. I redeem it for the exact same price. If I don't, I lose it forever. Yovel's not going to undo it. I have to redeem it. My Krovim, the Rambam Paskins, are not able to, but if the guy passes away, his children are able to. The Rambam also Paskins, you can't have any like partial things. You've got to buy it back or not buy it back. No such thing as like as being able to do just a little bit. Yeah. I'm guessing, I don't know. Okay, let's talk about the following. There is a major machlokas. There is a major machlokas. It's a machlokas which is clear in Achronim. It's a Ktsos and a Nesivos and Simin and Hey. Reb Chaim in his Chidushim on Shas. It really already have some of it in a Rashba and in a Ritva. It's a Rashba and Gidna 9 Hey. And a Ritva sort of like tucked away in Mesachas Bab Metzia and Daf Samech Gimel, I believe. And the following question emerges. So I sell it, and then I have a year to buy it back. And here we have two main mahalchim in how you're going to be able to say it out. Mahalach number one, and then Reb Chaim even says it a bit of a chakira, a lot of nuanced differences we'll talk about in a second. But mahalach number one is that I actually fully sold it. I sold it at the beginning, I sold you it. Just, I have the right to buy it back within the first year. But it was a full and complete, sale. That's the mahalach that the Ritva and Bab Metzia has. That's the mahalach that the Brisker Rav assumes like. That Pashtus is the mahalach that the Rashba in Meseches Gittin may hold like. That it really is a complete, normal, full sale. Just I have the ability to buy it back. That's the first general mahalach. We'll speak about a couple nuances, you know, within that mahalach in a second. The other mahalach is it's not true at all. It's not that it's a full sale and I have the right to buy it back, but rather it's not a full sale until the year is up. One way of saying it, the way the Nesivo says it, it's almost like I'm mocher it al tanai. Or, again, there's two ways of saying it. One is that it's not a full sale until I don't buy it back for a whole year. It's like a tanai kiyum. It's not a full sale yet, but if I don't come at the end of that year, that's going to make it a complete sale. But during that year, you're really not, in a certain sense, the complete owner. And that's, you know, again, what the Nesivos may hold like. Nesivos think that there may be some Rishonim who hold like, you know, that's more or less the Sefer Aguda may hold like that. That's the more, again, the basic general Chakira. When I sell a bias, so within that first year, did I sell it to him? He's the full owner right now. It's a full sale. Just, I can buy it back. Or, alternatively, that's not what happens. It really is not a full sale until the year is up with different nuanced views. Let's develop a little bit before we get into some of the details. The main question which comes up as a result is the following. Okay. When I then buy it back, so do I have to actually come along and be kona it back? Or is there no real need to go make a kinyan? Let's start like this. The Mishnah in Erechin tells us that what would happen, this is like, this was a move. Rishona, it's on Lamed Alpha base, Haya nitman yom shnei masar chodesh, kidei sheichalet lo. Well, let's say I bought it from you. What am I going to do? I'm going to like hide out around the time that you're going to want to pay me back. Because I want to be able to keep my home here forever. So you're going to come at the end of the 12 months, you're going to say, okay, here's my money, and I'm going to be hiding somewhere, so you're not going to be able to, and this was a real problem. People would actually do this. So Hillel came along and made a takana. Just like Hillel made a takana of Prusbel to take care of people who are being taken advantage of. So Hillel made a takana here also. Hiskin, Hillel, shecholesh ma'osav lilishka. That there was a place where you could just put your money. And if you did that, shover es hadelas v'nichnas, and it's all yours. Go in, break the door down, and go in. Emasaisa yirta, and just go in and let every this other guy wants to come. He can go take his money. So where am I putting the money? So Rashi writes, I'm putting the money in ma'osav lelishko shebe azara. I think I had to go all the way to Yerushalayim to put my money there. The Rambam understands in a more basic way. You would put it in the local Beis Din. The local Beis Din, they were the people that were in charge. That's where you would put it. But I put it there. And then even if the guy is doing whatever he's doing, I'm, again, a strange line, I'm shover deles v'nichnas. Many of the Rishonim are bothered with a question. The question that we're not going to speak about right now, but it's a very important question, which is, well, isn't it onus? Like, I wanted to pay him back. I wasn't able to. Why don't we say onus rachman apatre? Why don't we say that it's just you were onus, and therefore, you know, what could you do? So the Sefer Aguda says, and therefore I should maybe be able to pay later even. It's not my fault I didn't pay within the first year. Something along those lines. The Sefer Aguda says, well, we learn from here. It's quoted by the Ketzos, it's quoted by many of the Mefarshim. The Aguda says, well, the pshat is because ones biyom acharon is not called ones. If you come at the last day, you procrastinate, this is here at one point. If you procrastinate and the test is the next day or the paper's due the next day and something happened the night before, I couldn't do it. The teacher says, well, you should have done it earlier. So that's the Aguda. If you delay until, you could have found the guy 6 months ago. If you wait until the last day, that's not called ones. So he'll have to make a takana because it's really not called ones. The Ketzos says something else. The Ketzos says, what are you talking about, says the Ketzos. Ones is not relevant here at all. Ones is not relevant here. Why? So I'll say it over the way some understand the Ketzos. Because says the Ketzos as follows. You sold your house. It's now not yours anymore. It belongs to him. I have a year if I want to buy it back. All that ones can ever do is exempt me from something. But ones can't make it kiman de'ava. Ones can't make it as if I actually did something I didn't do. As just an example of that. I think Rabbi Benowitz likes to give the example just to clarify the point. The morning he had a model lesson, I think he said, in Bruria, when he wanted to teach in high school, his wife went into labor. So he wasn't able to come to the model lesson. Ones. Ones means it's not his fault he didn't show up. Ones is not a reason to give him the job. Ones does not mean like, oh, it's ki'ilu, I'm ones, so it's ki'ilu, I did a good job, like teaching the model lesson. No. onus can potter you from something, doesn't make a keilu you did something. So says the Ktzos the following. The Ktzos says the way Batei Arichoma work, this way some understanding, there is a full sale. There is a full sale. And therefore, again, this point's going to be a little bit tricky. I'll give you a clearer nafkamina in a second. But about being Kona, this is where you see the machlokas. The Ktzos says you sold it. What am I trying to do right now? What I'm trying to do right now is to buy it back. I was on this. I wasn't able to buy it back. You're right. And therefore, we don't hold you accountable for not buying it back. But lemaisa, you didn't buy it. And if you don't buy it within the year, it's not going to work. If you got that point, great. If not, don't worry about it too much. But the general point that Ktzos makes is that Ktzos says, with Batei Arichoma, the way he seems to say it, in many ways, you've already sold it. You've already sold it. And therefore, you are responsible to now buy it back. Oh, I was honest. Okay, you're honest. But lemaisa, you didn't buy it back. If you didn't buy it back, he gets to keep it. As opposed to what the Aguda may hold, the Aguda says ones is relevant here. Why is ones relevant here? The reason why ones may be relevant here is because the Aguda says if you haven't really yet sold it yet. It's not really his yet. What makes it his is like you're not buying it back. So if I can justify why I didn't buy it back, maybe on some level I have an excuse. Again, that may have been a little bit tricky. I'll give you a clearer nafkamina in a second. But that's one context where it comes up, or dini ones relevant here. If you got it, great. If not, really don't worry about it. The clearer nafkamina, do I have to buy it back? So how does this work? Let's point out like this. Lichora, we would say as follows. If I never really sold it to him yet, if it's not really his, so then when I give him the money, let's say in Hillel's case, when I put the money in the Beis Din, so it doesn't matter, is that a Kenyan? Is the guy being Kona it when I put the money in Beis Din? I don't know if he's being Kona it when I put it in the Lishka. The money's there waiting for him, he can take it whenever he wants, but he hasn't yet been Kona it. I didn't like put it in his Chatzer. So when I pay it back, I could argue as follows. Because if I hold like maybe the Nesivos, that I didn't really sell it ever originally, if that's the pshat, I never really sold it. So since I never really sold it, I have to give the money. The money has to be available. But do I have to now go do a kinyan to get it back? No, because I never really lost possession of it. It was always mine. I lent it to him. It's like a halva for the year. If I don't buy it back, then maybe he'll become the owner. But right now, I haven't yet really lost possession, so I don't have to come along and buy it back. But if I hold like the Brisker Rav and maybe the Ritva and the Rashba, etc., I really sold it to him at the beginning of the year, just I have a year to buy it back, I have to actually lichora come along and be kona it. I got to make sure that I'm really going to be kona it. As far as clarity in that point, 1, 2, and 3. When I put the money in the base, how am I being Kona? If he agrees and he's there, when I give him the money, I'm Kona through Kenyan Kesef. I gave him money over. But if I'm leaving it in the base, like in Hillel's case, so like where's the... doesn't seem like there's a Kenyan. The Brisker Rav says as follows. Says the Brisker Rav, you always need a Kenyan. Wait, if I always need a Kenyan, so how come if I put the money in the Lishka, how come it becomes mine again? I wasn't really ever Kona it back. So Brisker Rav says that's pshat in the Mishnah, the odd lashon in the Mishnah. Put the money there, and then what do you have to do? Shover es hadeles v'nichnas. You got to really go there, nal gadar and paratz. You got to maybe go in there, break it down, show you're the owner, put up new locks, establish yourself really as the owner. So part of the question is, do I have to go and buy it back? If I sold it to you in the beginning of the year, so says the Brisker Rav, Lichora, I now have to go and be Kona it again. If I hold that I never really sold it to you originally, there isn't a need for me to now come back and be Kona it again. There's really no such requirement for me to be Kona it because I never lost possession. It was never really fully yours. One more time as far as the clarity on this. 1, 2, and 3. Okay. I'm going to mention two or three ways of just deepening this right now. If you're with me, great. If not, it's fine. The Ritva has a middle approach. The Ritva in Bamitzia says, it goes like this. In the beginning of the year, you sold it to him. Beginning of the year, I sold it to him. But when I buy it back, there's no need for me to do a kinyan to get it back. Wait, so how does it become yours? If I sold it to him and it's all his, so how do I get it back? So what the Ritva says is a very wild idea. The Ritva says what happens is as follows. Ve'ein ha-mocher tzarech lachzor v'liknos ben al-keyach d'rachmana afke v'yahava niale. Says the Ritva, you sold it to him. But the Arechoma, you never make a new kinyan, because when you give the money down, what happens? Hashem transfers ownership and does the kinyan for you. Hashem is mafkia it and does the kinyan for you. Usually we think that kinyanim are things that we have to do. And if I ever want to achieve ownership of something, I have to do something. Or maybe you have to do something. But Hashem's involvement in kinyanim, on some level, we'd always associate HaKadosh Baruch Hu with kinyanim. But it's not always true. Sometimes Hashem is involved in kinyanim. One example is the institution of Yerusha. Something becomes yours, even though you're not doing anything. Hashem is maknet to you. Or, potentially, Shemitah for many Rishonim when loans come. Every seventh year, you owe someone money, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've ka'asad the Malka for some Rishonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you don't. We're wiping it out. Or maybe even Yovel can go like that. I sold a field of the sea. I sold a field. Yovel comes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu transferred ownership. So says the Ritva, that's what's happening here also. You're going to say Kedushin maybe for some. Yeah, could be. That says the Ritva is what's happening. So on the one hand, we have this question as to is it a full sale or not a full sale. Come on, your pen? So on the one hand, if it's not a full sale, so then for sure there's no need to do a kinyan to get it back. If, however, it is a full sale, so l'chora I need a kinyan. The only question is, who does the kinyan? The Brisker Rav says, I do the kinyan. How do I do the kinyan? By giving the money ordinarily. If he takes it, great. If he's not taking it, I leave it in the lishka, and then I come, and I have to break down the wall, become it myself. According to the Ritva, it's a full sale, but I don't have to do a kinyan because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the kinyan. The Gemara Yevam has a similar question about maybe in the case of Yibum, that what's your connection to that woman when the guy's brother dies? Hikna lo min hashamayim. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in kinyanim, so that's where the kinyan takes place, but you really do need a kinyan. One just additional kinach that briskers like read everything as halachic. That's part of this. Like the Brisker Rav reads, Shover Delf Menichnas is like a halachic, and it's supposed to like just like describing for you what's going to happen. They read things in a very halakha kind of way. With David Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav's son, points out in Shiurim and Erchin that you could have said that even if you have to do the kinyan, so maybe I do the kinyan by even just like ordinarily giving him the money, he agrees the kinyan. Maybe even in a case where I put the money in Beis Din, maybe even that's considered to be enough of a kinyan that Beis Din, we know, has koach over things, Beis Din Hefker, maybe that'd be enough. Maybe the actual Shover Del is not necessary. But he points out as follows. If you hold of the Brisker Rav, so I have to be Kona it back. How am I going to be Kona it back? I'm going to be Kona it back by ordinarily giving him the money he's around. If he's hiding, I put it to Beis Din, I have to go be Shover the Delos. Says Rav David Soloveitchik, if you really hold this Brisker Rav, that if the guy's not taking your money, he doesn't want to be Kona it, and you put it to Beis Din, could be you have to not only put the money in Beis Din within the 12 months, but you actually have to also be Shover Delos and re-Kona it within the 12 months. He suggests that it could be you'd even have to be Kona it within the 12 months. I'll just point out something that actually could be a little bit complicated. Because if you hold like Rashi, that I have to put the money in the Lishka in Yerushalayim, and my home is somewhere in the Golan, it means you got to get all your action done in time to be back in the Golan to actually be Kona it through being Shover Delos v'nichnas. He just says that, according to the Brisker Rav, first of all, I'm not sure that even if you have to be Kona it, maybe you're Shover Delos, maybe you're Kona it by putting it in Beis Din. Maybe that's considered to be enough. And Lefi Brisker Rav points out, L'chor Rav, Shover Delos is like really your kinyan, maybe you have to do it within the year. I'll give you another Nafka Mina, it's just a Nafka Mina to make, what? What, be Shover Delos?
What if he doesn't? He doesn't want to sell it back.
Doesn't matter. He's on the right. I can give the base then. I break it down.
Yeah, but if he has to go and break it down.
No, he doesn't have to. I go break it down. I'm the original owner. I sell it to you. You then start hiding the whole year. I then put the money I'm going to buy back. I'm giving you back your $100,000. I've been based, and then I go and I undo it.
You have to go take your money, and then you give it to the guy?
I sold it for $100,000. But the Erich Holman means that I have my money. I sold it to you. You now are in the field. I have 1 year to give you that same money back. What if you aren't there within that year to get the same money back? What do? You're hiding. If I put it in Beis Din, go back to what was my home before I sold it to you, break down the wall and go in. And the Brisker Rebbe actually may have to do that in the case where you're sort of hiding. One nafka mina, Michaschina brings that in a certain context, but it's a nice nafka mina. A lot of the Achorim discuss. What about if a katan's involved? Let's say it can go in both directions. Let's say the original owner was an adult. That guy dies, and now his son wants to be goel. Can a katan pay the money to be goel? Can a katan pay the money to get it back? A katan can't do kinyanim. If it wasn't really originally a sale at all, I never really sold it to you. So the katan doesn't have to do a kinyan. So a katan who gives money, it's going to all be more or less, okay, he doesn't have to do a real kinyan. But if I understand that originally it was fully sold, so now the katan is coming along with money, is that going to work? So for the Brisker Rav, maybe it won't work. Because the kid itself, the goel, the original owner, has to be kona it. And maybe a katan can't be kona it. But lefi the Ritva in Mesachas Bav Metzia, maybe it doesn't matter. Because even though it was originally sold, the katan doesn't have to do a kinyan. All the katans will give the money, because who does the kinyan? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even though a katan can't do kinyanim on his own, a katan is able to be kona something that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives him. A katan can own something, he just can't do the Maisa Kinyan. How do we know a katan can own something even though he can't do the Maisa Kinyan? Yerusha. A katan can own something through Yerusha. Because Baruch Hu can get stuff to a katan. The katan can't do it, because Baruch Hu gets stuff. So one nafkamina maybe, what if the goel is a katan? So if you hold that it was a full sale, step one, and step two, he has to be kona it back, so maybe it's not going to work in the case of a katan. You have the reverse nafkamina also with Michaschina's case. If you're with me on this point, great. If not, it's fine. What if the guy who bought it from me was a katan? Some Rishonim think a katan can be kona things through Dasa Cheres Makne. That if I can give something to a katan, just a katan can't give something to me. So maybe I sold it in the beginning of the year to a katan, so now it's his. But he can't give it back to me. Is that a problem, that he can't be makne it back to me? So for the Brisker Rav, maybe it is a problem. I gave it to him, he now owns it fully. For those who think Dasa Cheres Makne, the katan owns it. But he can't really give it back to me, because there's no way of being kona from a katan. That's that at the point. Great, if not, it's all good. Let's just chazer what we spoke about tonight. Perfect timing. Let's chazer what we spoke about tonight. We tried to do three things tonight. Number one, the basics of Batei Arechoma. The way Batei Arechoma works, the basics of Batei Arechoma, a person sells a home in a walled city from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. They have 1 year to pay back the buyer whatever he paid. So if you bought my house for $100,000, I have 1 year to pay you back $100,000. If I don't pay you back within that year, it's going to belong to you forever. These halachas only apply in the time that Yovel applies. If the Mishnah, Hilas Takana, ordinarily I'm just going to pay you back. If you're hiding so that you're going to have to keep it, Hilas made a Takana, as long as I put the money either in Beis Din or Lishka in Yerushalayim, that money is considered to be to belong to that original. I get it back. Why is this halacha the case? So the Ramban understands, but for sure, on some level, we really have to protect fields. Fields have to go back because fields are very important. That's your main source of livelihood and sustenance. You can always make a living. You can always produce your own food. That's very important. But the Arechoma is not necessarily as critical. For the Meshech Chachma, it's more a question of like planning for times of war and defense. We don't want to have a Yovel year where all the old owners come back. They don't know each other. It's been 45 years since they were last there. And it's harder to sort of establish a defense system. The main question that we spoke about tonight was what happens in Batei Arichoma. Is it a full sale? I sell it to you at the beginning, it's fully yours. I just have this chus to buy it back. And when I have this chus to buy it back, do I have to do a kinyan? Do I not have to do a kinyan? Something that may even be undone l'mafreya. That has nafka minas in certain cases. And the other case, the other mahalach, I never really sold it to you. It's more that I gave it to you al tanai maybe, that if I don't redeem it within the year, then it's really going to belong to you. One of the reasons, for those of us that learn Maseches Ksuvos, some of you may be familiar, it's very similar questions to, it's a get, but if I don't come back within 30 days, then the get is chal. And questions like that, of these tanais where am I not doing something makes the chal, that's more or less the halachas of Batei Arichoma. We're going to go through probably next week, we'll hopefully speak about Yovel a little bit. Again, these are just some important psukim in this week's Parshas in America. If not, you are in our Tin HaKadosha. It's just an important halacha to be able to understand how these things work, and hopefully in a way which is meaningful.